Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of November 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and take up the cash grain side of the marketplace with Channel Seeds' Matt Bennett out of Windsor, Illinois. Along the way, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. In fact, Mike is in Geneva, Switzerland today, and we'll catch up with him there at a really good global ag conference. And we'll hear a little bit more about what's been happening in Washington, D.C. as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. December contract in the corn pit at $3.86 and a quarter, up 8.5 cents. The March at $3.98 and three quarters, that's up 8 and a quarter for the day. March contract at $4.07 and a quarter, up 8 and a quarter. That's the May actually, and the July futures at $4.14 and a quarter, up 7.5 cents. December futures at $4.29, 6.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Soy complex now nearby soybeans finished the November contract at $10.50 and a half, up 2 and a quarter. January at $10.53 and a half, 5 and three quarters higher. March $10.59 and three quarters, up 6 and a quarter for the day. And the May at $10.64 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. July futures up 6 and a quarter as well, $10.69. November beans at $10.35 and a quarter, up 9 and a quarter cents. Bean meal futures for the afternoon in the December at $3.93.50, down $1.50. And the bean oil for the day, 15 cents lower at $32.07. Chicago wheat at $5.53 and three quarters, 11 cents higher in December. July at $5.68 and a half, up 7 for the day. Kansas City wheat at $6.05 and a quarter, finished 6 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the December at $169.85, $2.10 higher. Feeder cattle finished the January at $234.35, 97 and a half cents higher. And the lean hogs in the December futures at $91.17 and a half, finished 50 cents higher. The February at $91.35 were up 55 for the day. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Checking now the outside markets. December crude oil at $74.33 a barrel for the day, down $2.85. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.36 and 8 cents, 7 and 8 tenths of a cent lower. And the RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $2.1 cent, a dime and a half lower for the day. Natural gas trading at $4.02 of a cent, 18 and 3 tenths of a cent lower. And the ethanol futures in Chicago at $1.98 and 2 cents. That's a nickel higher on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at about 17,588, just about 11 points higher for the day. The gold is unchanged at $1,159 or thereabouts. And the U.S. dollar trading 87.755. is down 0.151. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. On our way to a high of 30 degrees, we'll have some scattered snow showers all before 5 o'clock this evening, central time, on a west-northwest wind at about 11 to 13 miles an hour. It will gust all the way to 20. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 30%. Chance of flurries before 1 a.m. this evening as well. Mostly cloudy, a low of 18 degrees. Northwest winds at 7 to 10. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and 30. Friday night, mostly clear, a very cool 16 degrees. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 34. Saturday night, mainly before midnight snow, cloudy with a low of 24 thereafter. Chance of snowfall about 60% Saturday night, and Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 35 degrees.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On this Thursday afternoon, the 13th day of November, we're joined by Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, to take up the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
I bet you're warmer there than we are here.
Yeah, probably, but it feels awful cold down here with the high humidity. That kind of gives you kind of an extra kick to the chill factor down here. This morning it was like 36 and rainy when I came to work, and I haven't been outside. I think it's maybe warmed up a few degrees, but we're in for some pretty cold temperatures, I guess, for the next 7 or 8 days or so.
Well,
so it must be going to be cold up there, too.
Huh? Yeah, it's going to be cold and a little on the dry side. We get to walk across the floors in socks and then shock ourselves when we touch things.
Well, I'm hoping I bring a warm front up when I come up here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you'll be here for our first ever Farm Assets Conference. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving. I'm really glad you'll be able to be here and talk about the marketplace.
That might be a fun day to talk about the market.
Well, I hope so. I really hope that it will be. Should be a fantastic day. Looking forward to having you here. Why don't you preview what you think we'll be talking about that day?
Well, I myself have taken a long-term bullish stance. I think the longer-term cycles are turning up here, so I'm probably going to have a bullish stance. Some of my short-term work would maybe indicate that we might be nearing a short-term high at that point in time. So this market, as I mentioned on Commodity Week this last week, that if you couldn't get this market to turn down this week, and have a seasonal decline that you normally see in corn into late November, early December. Soybeans really don't have much of a climb, but they do have a period of softness in late November. But then by the time December 1 comes around, your seasonals kick to the upside and is pretty strong as you go on into the growing season. Since this thing has not turned down and we're basically halfway, almost halfway through the month of November, and we're posting new highs for the fall rally. Soybeans did it yesterday. Corn and wheat futures posted new highs for the fall rally here today. I would say that monthly seasonal pattern that we're going counter seasonal. And when something goes counter seasonal, it's very vicious. And in this case, it would imply it could be very vicious to the upside. You know, maybe when we get into late November, first part of December might be a selling opportunity. That would just be my guess. And I guess we'll see how good my guess is in a couple of weeks. Well, that would definitely help everybody out, especially Illinois, because it looks like Illinois is the sweet spot this year across the Corn Belt with the big yields. I'm sure there's some out there in our audience that didn't have the super big yields, but when you look at your statewide averages, Illinois was definitely the sweet spot. Well, farmers are going to need that time the state of Illinois starts raising taxes on them. Land taxes are going up 10% a year now. Well, all that unfunded liability, they're going to have to get it someplace. Oh. Well, I'd never want to talk anyone out of selling because, you know, they're the ones that look at their books. They're the ones that know what their yields are. They're the ones that know what their costs are, and they know what's going to scour the make the operation scour and get everybody a paycheck. Soybeans could be a little tricky because we did have a reversal down yesterday, but it was not validated. We had an inside up day. So probably tomorrow is going to be kind of key if the market could break above today's high point. And it looks like everybody's expecting another big weekly export sales report here tomorrow. And if we do get that, then that continues to fundamentally support the need for the market to pull beans into the pipeline, to crush, to meet the meal demand, and to bring beans down here to the Gulf to export. So we'll have to, you know, our export sales are running above last year's fast pace. So we're definitely needing soybeans, at least in the near term. And that should keep this market, I think, generally firm. Anything can happen in this type of environment, but it just looks to me at the moment that the bean market is poised to maybe stay firm, you know, maybe as you go on into the first of the year. I think December meal deliveries could get a little interesting, and then when you go into January, you get into all three, soybeans, meal, and oil, will all be in delivery process, and that could be quite interesting depending upon what the winter weather is. And, you know, because the export demand is, we need a lot of beans to fill that need out there.
As you look forward then into the end of this year and to the beginning of next year, what are your cycles telling you that should happen?
Well, this goes back to my old Zwicker cycle letter days, and I always watched a 40 to 45 week corn cycle and a kind of a 36 to 39 week soybean cycle, and I believe the early October's those are lows of both the 38 type week soybean cycle and 40 week corn cycle. So if you just take half of that, I would say the market has a shot at maybe moving up 20 weeks. That's not going to be straight up. That's going to be some ups and downs because there's a bunch of smaller cycles that work inside those cycles. But I'm kind of in the camp that this thing is going to go higher on everybody, and it may even turn out to be somewhat seasonal in nature. Totally opposite, I know, of what the fundamentals would imply. I mean, I don't even look at them. They're so bearish. And I think that's why this market's going up, is everybody's been looking at them and trying to sell into this thing, and it ain't working. I mean, we're already 68 cents off our low in December corn, with corn making new highs for the year here. Soybeans looks like they're about $1.50 off their lows, $1.45, you know, soybeans, the market bulls really took the shorts to the cleaners in October with the big drop off in open interest, and I'm about to believe that the bulls are about going to do that to corn. Corn has a nice little head and shoulders bottom formation in the March contract. We closed above the neckline here today. If that head and shoulders bottom is confirmed here with a good solid weekly close above that neckline, then all of a sudden you could begin to talk about 450 corn. But, you know, even with tonight's closes on March corn at $4.98, we did trade $4. So that means we only got a dollar to go before we hit $5.
On that, I think I'll let you go. And we can find out on Monday the 24th. How about that? Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Just a couple of quick ag news items for the day. The U.S. and China reached an unexpected deal earlier this week to drastically cut greenhouse gas emissions from both countries by 2030. President Obama called it a major milestone in the battle to limit the effects of climate change. According to the agreement, the U.S. will aim to cut carbon dioxide emissions up to 28% below 2005 levels by 2030. China intends to achieve the peaking of its emissions by 2030 at the latest. China also intends to boost its share of non-fossil fuels and primary energy consumptions to around 20% by 2030. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called it another costly and unpopular environmental move. He says the president's ideological war on coal would squeeze middle-class families, ensuring higher utility rates and far fewer jobs. Well, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says one of his goals for the upcoming lame duck session of Congress is to pass a tax extenders bill. The legislation would include returning Section 179 deductions to $500,000 for business equipment, including farm machinery. Grassley says leaders of some key congressional committees are negotiating on a possible tax extender package. The package does have bipartisan support, including that of Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Let's stay with Illinois and Iowa for the moment and move from the extenders package to the Mississippi River, a barge diesel user fee boost to help fund locks and dams modernization on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers may have to wait until next year to see action in Congress. That according, again, to Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley. Grassley says efforts in Congress to boost the diesel user fee to raise some $80 million a year for inland water infrastructure may work best on an infrastructure bill next year. The Waterways Council is hoping a 6 to 9 cent increase can become part of legislation, such as a tax break extension in the lame duck Congress. But Grassley has this to say.
I think that they're going to want a bill that is going to look the same when it's brought up in the House as the Senate, so you can avoid conference. So that might preclude such an amendment on here. But I think it's more apt to come up when we have the highway bill up, because that's kind of an infrastructure bill, before the middle of next year, whenever our extension expires.
Republican Senator Lamar Alexander and Democrat Bob Casey are working on either a standalone bill or an amendment to a bill to boost the user fee. Locks work is key for moving grain and other ag goods up and down the Mississippi, Illinois, and other rivers. Funding for the new Water Resources Reform and Development Act passed into law this year was torpedoed in a Senate fight over a big money bill, which may now be swept into a catch-all omnibus bill. On a separate front, Grassley agrees with House Republican leaders that President Obama's planned unilateral action to let millions of illegal immigrants stay in the country could harm future cooperation with the White House.
Well, you've heard other members of my party say it is going to poison the waters. It's like a red flag in front of a bull. And I would urge the president to consider history and see how President Clinton was able to accomplish so much in the last 6 years of his presidency, when he had a total Republican Congress, and a lot of good things got done.
The immigration fight has been key for agriculture as groups like the American Farm Bureau push for legislation to boost the supply of available, legal, seasonal farm labor. A couple more items that I think you ought to take a look at. We'll send you to a different website, though, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. If this is not one of your regular stops on the internet, it should be. The address, again, is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. That's all one word, .illinois.edu. It is operated by the agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Currently, the first two stories, they are from yesterday and the day before, are about the price of crude oil. One of them discusses the impact on non-land farm cost for corn and soybean production, that from Gary Schnitke. The other one is on the competitiveness of ethanol under the lower $80 cost per barrel of crude oil, and it is written and penned by Scott Irwin and Daryl Good. Please do take a look at them. I'll try to put them up on my Twitter feed. You can follow me, by the way, at Commodity Week. But more importantly, do visit the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On the subject of places to visit on the web, do go to our website at willag.org and purchase your ticket for the Farm Assets Conference coming up the Monday before Thanksgiving. It's not very far away now, on the 24th day of November. Our program includes Gary Schnitke. He'll talk about crop insurance. Bruce Sherrick will be there to take up the price of farmland. Jonathan Kappas on the ARC PLC decision, all really important topics, and you can speak directly and hear directly from the specialist here on campus that cover them, research them, know them inside and out. And you'll also hear from a dozen of our regular on-air analysts with a corn, a soybean, and a cash grain panel during our day-long event at the Marriott Hotel in Normal, Illinois. Just $25 for all six sessions. Runs from about 10 in the morning to 5 in the evening. The $25 cost, by the way, includes your meal and the parking. It's a great venue, a great place. Please do come to the ISU campus and the Marriott Hotel on the 24th of this month for the Farm Assets Conference. You can purchase your ticket right now at 800-898-1065. Let me repeat that, 800-898-1065, or online securely at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. A couple of items. Don't forget that this afternoon on Thursdays, we record Commodity Week. Our panelists this afternoon, Scott Harms from Archer Financial Services, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, Wade Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities. On the phone line to take up the cash grain side of the function is Matt Bennett this afternoon from Channel Seeds, and he is in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us. What about this rally in the corn market and the bean market? It's something else at this time.
Yeah, it sure is something. I mean, it's definitely unexpected as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I really like seeing the ethanol numbers again today being very strong. I think, you know, demand obviously for corn and beans is pretty good. I'd like to see exports for corn maybe pick up a little bit. But bottom line, you know, this is a move that I don't think a whole lot of people are expecting. So we're sure talking to our producers about doling some out on the way up here.
Is it demand-based or is it an infrastructure problem with the rail not being able to move grain around?
Well, it's definitely got a lot to do with it. Obviously, a lot of these guys hunting for soybean meal, it's gotten most depressed. You know, they haven't been able to get really what they've needed. And then, obviously, rail situations in the upper Midwest have been a problem for quite some time now. They're able to move some grain out of there, but bottom line, it's been really tough, really slow going. So, you know, it's definitely got a lot to do with it. But by all means, whenever you look at our export demand on soybeans and, you know, on corn, it hasn't been near as good as beans. But, you know, when you have that good of export demand on beans, it's kind of helped lend a little bit of support to the corn market, too. And then on other days, you see things on the corn market like today with the ethanol. And I think, you know, both of them from a demand perspective have been pretty solid.
We're talking, of course, with Matt Bennett here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Stay with us if you can. In a couple minutes, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast. Mike Tenora will join us. Mike is in Geneva, Switzerland.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
This is Illinois Public Media. Let's talk again a bit with Matt Bennett at Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois. Matt, it's got to be tough for a farmer, I think, looking at this, because there were so many bearish things that they were thinking about, especially during the harvest season. They had such good crops, both corn and soybeans in the area, and now they're forced to rethink maybe what their marketing plans are. What should they do?
Well, it's a great question, because I know a lot of guys have said, you know, during harvest, maybe they had sold a little bit more than what they had originally thought they might sell, you know, and then they were hoping to come back in and buy it. Or you've got guys who are wanting to buy corn to feed the livestock, you know, and they were looking for a buying opportunity, and that buying opportunity never really came. So it makes it a little more complicated, but I do think that, you know, I don't know anybody that just sold everything across the scale, at least in our neighborhood. And most of the guys we had, you know, had a lot of hedges going in, and they've still got some corn left over still. Most of them have probably sold most, if not all, their beans that we know of. But as far as the corn market goes, it's been a blessing to get this huge rally. So we're certainly telling them, hey, we go ahead and let go of some of this. Rally doesn't do us much good if we don't do something with it. And then I think there'll be a time whenever these markets will pull back. And if they want to participate still, you know, at that time we could do something.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Channel Seeds. He's in Windsor, Illinois, joins us here to take a look at the cash grain market. Don't forget to go online at willag.org and buy your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. And while you're there, click on Commodity Week, hopefully later this afternoon. I'll have that up. We'll record it about 3 o'clock. It'll take, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes to record, and then another hour to get it edited so that it can go back up on the website. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather joins us from Geneva, Switzerland today. Mike, thanks for being with us. You're at a conference there in Europe. Tell me about the conference. Where are you exactly?
Well, in Geneva, it's the Global Grain Conference. They have a few conferences every year in different areas of the world. And this one was pretty interesting just because there's about 900 attendees from different areas of the world. Russia and Ukraine and Africa seem to be pretty well represented at the conference. And there were quite a few people from the U.S., but the U.S. was definitely a minority in it. So it was just real interesting to see some of the different perspectives on global agriculture from all these different groups.
Well, let's start with Russia and Ukraine both. They have a winter wheat crop that has been sown, though you may have some difficulties, I suppose, saying that crop's going to go into the winter season in very good condition. Tell me about it.
Yes, that's true, but it's more so for Russia than Ukraine. Ukraine received some decent rainfall around 6 to 10 weeks ago, and that really alleviated what was turning into a dry situation for their wheat crop. But to the immediate east is Russia, and a lot of that crop did not receive that rain. And it hasn't received much in the way of rainfall over the last 90 to 120 days. Just by looking at rainfall charts of the region, but about 70% of Russia's wheat production is very dry, and with no question about that 30%. So, you know, that's quite a bit. When we're talking about 70% of the wheat crop being too dry with winter approaching, and with no rain or snow on the horizon, we might add, you know, that will eventually play out at some point. The main issue is that the crop won't establish as well as it could have. And with winter quickly approaching, we'll have to keep an eye out for winter kill threats. So that will just be something to keep an eye on going forward. But it's more of a long-term type issue.
You mentioned, and do this very quickly, the Northern Hemisphere U.S. winter wheat crop. It's been cold. Cold enough to cause problems, do you think?
Well, the areas that fell well below zero were covered in snow in recent days. So from what we're hearing, it just seems to us that this cold weather might actually be a good thing, because the crop wasn't turning dormant as quickly as some would have liked. The crop was growing too much from what some people were saying. But regardless of whether or not that's an accurate way to describe it, we do know now that it is cold, and we know that it will turn dormant very quickly. And so the U.S. wheat crop will be dormant in all areas by the end of next week. So that issue has pretty much ended now. Until at least next weekend, it's mainly dry with just a few areas of light snow from time to time.
And finally, take up the South American weather forecast.
Over the next 7 to 10 days, it's pretty clear that the wettest areas will stay dry for planting. So that's good news for corn and soybean planting in that area. That would be from Argentina through Paraguay and the southern third to half of Brazil. To the immediate north is where it's been fairly dry in recent weeks, but they see some pretty good rainfall chances over the next 5 to 10 days, and we don't think that dryness will be too much of an issue by the end of next week.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You have a safe flight back home. That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, and helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.